When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
There's a difference just between being like, there's a difference between being an artist and being a consumer. And I think a lot of times that's missed.
Yeah.
When people are trying to be artists because they're consuming something rather than trying to make their own.
Yeah.
Or they try
to
make their version of what they've consumed.
Yeah.
Which more time is kind of dead.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? That's a good point. What's up, my people out there? Welcome to another episode of the Check-In with Black Menswear. We're here in London, UK, with my guy Control, brother. Brother, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, my bro.
Nah, man, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Well, you know, I know Control, but I don't think everybody out there knows Control. Like, who are you?
Jokes. Well, I guess simplify the answer, I'm just an artist.
Nah, there's more to it than just being an artist, man. You're a very talented brother, man.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Just an artist and thinker. That's it.
Born and raised out here?
Yeah, I was born and raised in London. My family's from Jamaica and Munster, the Caribbean. So I'm between, Jamaica and London.
You go back and forth pretty consistently?
Yeah, I got a lot of family there, and I'm a citizen there as well.
Got you. Now, Control, right? Let's talk about the artist work, right? You got to break that down to me. What does Control mean?
So it's actually an acronym. It stands for Can't Keep to Reality. So I guess music and all, like, creativity that I do, it's always just been, like, to get away from, you know, I guess the drama of real life, you know what I mean? Because, like, sometimes that was too much. So always, like, music's always been, like, my escape and getaway. So, yeah, that's where the name came from for the art, really.
I like that, man. A lot of people that do make music, and unfortunately, I don't have that gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to a lot of music, and that consistency of, man, I use music as my expression to get a message out to those that listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, you know, what message is it that you get out through your music?
To be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's more for me, I guess. It's very personal. So I guess if I'm going through something, and that could be, you know, as we all have, like, a bad week, you know, or it could be, like, you know, relationship issues or financial ones, you know, just the normal thing that affect us, like,
yeah,
try and go through life, and it's always just been there as that kind of comfort blanket, you know. So I was able to express myself differently through it, always.
I know a few musicians that actually, when they record, they never listen to it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you listen to your music?
For like periods of time, and then you don't. I suppose the only time I don't listen to stuff is when I put it out. I probably won't listen to it for like 3 months and then come back to it, because before that, you listen to it like 50 million times.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean? And that was just like when you was making it, then when you was editing it, and then when you got it mastered, you listen to it again, then just before it comes out that week, you're just banging it out, and then it comes out, you just need to allow it, otherwise you won't like it.
Yeah. It's here now, you know?
It's literally a good 3 to 6 months sometimes after I've put things out, I haven't listened to it.
Got you. Now, as a musician, and this is going to be a tough question,
mm-hmm,
right? You play multiple instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite instrument?
I guess so. Like, I learned the clarinet first, so I guess that's probably my favorite instrument.
Okay.
I'll probably, like, pick it up quicker than I would the saxophone.
Mm.
But then sometimes you start something and you're like, maybe it needs that one instead, but that would be the go-to that I worked out where I was going from with.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Now, from your history of learning instruments, right, where did that start?
When I was about 8.
Okay.
Yeah, so in, I suppose you lot call it elementary school.
Yeah, right.
Primary school, these sides. But so when I started, yeah, there they used to like have, I don't know if you even call like assemblies.
Yeah, right.
So in the assembly, like every week they'd come and like show us different instruments. And it started with like, what was the first thing? I think it was like the oboe or something.
Okay.
And I always thought of like snake charming. Like back in the day, like you see it in cartoons, you think, like, all right, cool, like, nah, I'll never get caught slipping by no snakes, man.
And just fly.
So I was like, let me go with the oboe first and just see what happens there with that. And then, like, I got home, brought it home or whatever, and then it's like what they call a double reed instrument. So,
okay.
Like, you like, put your mouth like mm-hmm. that to do it. So it kind of sounds like a duck.
Mm.
So
yeah,
my dad wasn't really feeling
it. Nah, bro, you can't play this.
Yeah, so it wasn't really working out, and it just didn't feel good because you're just quacking about the house, isn't it? So I gave that one back, and then they came with the flute next, and yeah, dad wasn't really feeling that one either, actually. Yeah, it was just like,
yeah,
you're not finna play that one there, and then. The teacher that came the next, but every week it was a different person that showed us a different instrument.
Okay.
So the guy that came and showed the clarinet, like, I felt like he must have been like fresh out of uni or whatever. He just had a vibe, you know what I mean? And he was playing and I was like, this is kind of hard still.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of went from there. But I was fortunate enough to have like, at that time, in England at the time, we had like a different government. Right. So with that, there was like funding for just for arts on like a borough level. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So like all of our lessons were like free and paid for, our instruments were all free and patterns.
Okay.
So everything
okay.
was just patterns. I guess without having that access, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, have the education to have those skills basically. So I was very fortunate there to be able to learn instruments that way.
Yeah. Now, how many do you play now?
Just two.
Just
only
two.
The
okay.
clarinet and the saxophone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other side of the music that I do is just production. And I started that from 11.
You started producing at 11?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We got like versions of Fruity Loops.
Okay. Yeah.
Off LimeWire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just went crazy.
Yeah.
Just hella beats from there. So, yeah.
How would you identify your music now, like from a genre perspective? Because it's, I spent time mm-hmm. really listening. I was like, oh, bro, it's really good.
Thanks, bro.
But it's very intricate.
Yeah, I think, see with the genre thing, like, I feel like I learned from, I try to use references that you get as well. Like, I guess like the Neo Soul thing.
Okay.
See, as soon as they called it Neo Soul, yeah, it was done.
Yeah.
I was getting it.
Yeah.
So I would never, it won't be out of my mouth for like,
okay.
The genre that I'm doing, because this thing needs to keep going, because money from it, you know?
Yeah.
Because as soon as that, it was done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like as well, with genres, it's like, and boxes and things like that in creativity. Once you're like puts a place somewhere, then that kind of puts a ceiling on what you can do.
I hear you.
And what?
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Really, I'm enjoying at the moment is through putting out the music that I have done, it's kind of like I don't have any peers. You know, there's no competition, there's no nothing, so I can go at my own pace, do what I want, take up other spaces that I'm just interested in because I've got my own thing going on. Which has been the most liberating part of it as well.
The liberating factor, right? The music as the way to, again, get away. What feeling do you get, right? So obviously when you go through this time of, I'm getting ready to put this project out, those that month leading up to it. I know because, you know, where I'm from Dallas, Texas, where Erykah Badu is from, and what Erykah Badu says, she said, I'm an artist, but I'm sensitive about my shit. And so for you, as you're listening through it, how do you know, like, this is finally ready to put out for the world
when
to
you
hear?
Know it's finished.
Yeah.
That's always been easy for me. It's like, it's a weird one, but I just say it. It's like, literally, like, if I make something, and then I can just play it on loop without anything jumping out at me, like I need to turn that down, or just, then it's finished.
Okay.
That's it.
So once you, like, again, I don't got to tweak, like, anything.
This is it. Like, literally, as soon as you can even, like, it goes past you. Like, say the song's that 5 minutes just goes past, and you're like, all right. There's no more edits. It's done. So that's how I know.
Now, as a producer, I know you spent some time DJing as well. Do you think that from musical composition to adding the producer, then going into the DJ, to now having, you know, really access to other people's music and those kind of things, do you think that that's helped you become more perfected in your craft?
Okay, I think the best way to answer that is to kind of, like, all of those, say, three avenues or whatever have been kind of running concurrently.
Yeah, okay.
I guess with my instruments, I didn't, as I told you, I started learning them at 8, but when I was learning them, it was like another subject at school kind of thing.
Okay.
It was like whereas, like, production from when I was 11 was like, nah, like, I'm trying to be, like, you know, make big rhythms and...
Yeah,
we're rapping with my friends them times as well, and all of those kind of things. So I never actually mixed my instruments with my production until I was about 21.
Okay.
It was, like, very separate.
Okay.
You know? And then with DJing came off the back of, just making beats. So it's like I wanted to, like, get my beats out. So in London, there was, like, there's probably still is, but it was more... It was more black at the time, like the underground, like, club scene with, like, electronic music and that, whereas now it's a bit more white than it was at that time. I suppose it's kind of come back around now with, like, I guess the popularity of, like, Amapiano and those kind of sounds.
Yeah.
Like, so before Amapiano, it was like Funky House was probably, like, the last, like, sound that, like, black people were into in the city like that. So that being said, with beats that we were making, we were able to, like, on raves and do different things and play those out. So that's how I got into DJing, because of the production. So it was a bit different than just, like, jumping into something else or doing whatever. They kind of all ran at the same time.
Yeah. You've mentioned, I've heard you talk through this kind of from a space of being unapologetically black with your music. Because to your point, it's like, music is who creates it. It's not a white thing or black thing. Tell me, talk more through that about, you know, taking the color off of the music and just letting the music be, like.
Well, I don't necessarily think that far. I think all music is black music. I don't be working with any white people in my music, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's just is what it is. But others do, and it's dusty, that's their thing. But for me, it's just like, I think it's very important where things are coming from and what the source of things are. And I think, as, you know, an oppressed people, all we've been able to do is create, because everything else was taken away. So, you know, that's why, you know, people say, like, we are the culture, or we are the thing, and that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Because of, like, it's not even a necessity. It's just an innate thing that we do, even just through community as well.
I like that. So, I like that perspective of it. Yeah. Just, you said they're taking everything else from it. They can't take our creativity.
This is it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you find that you're more creative on the island, or do you find that you're more creative here, or it doesn't matter?
Definitely, yeah. Back home's got like a whole like spiritual thing. Like the last EP, Yield, I did most of that in the mountains in Jamaica.
Okay, nice. That was nice.
Yeah. So a lot of that was done there. But I'd say for me, it's just more about like space. Like, as I've gotten older, it's like, okay, how can I make space just like in my life and around it and be able to create? I think that's what's important for me.
What's probably one of the best pieces of advice you've gotten along your musical journey, that whether big piece of advice, small piece of advice, something that somebody said to you that really hit, that you now take with you to become the artist that you are today?
To be honest, I don't know. The only thing that's informed me is like, I guess, my own experiences. So I guess when things have gone wrong, or you haven't got like the outcome you were looking for from something, like that's kind of been it. I'd say to anyone, I guess, like, yeah, finding yourself is like the most important thing. And the more vague things that like advice wise that people give you are probably the best ones. Do you know what I mean? And at the time you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, you know, the music just has to be good. You'll hear that a lot and you'll just think, what are you talking about?
The music just has to be good.
Right? Yeah. Like, just hear that one or something like, you know, something like that. It's always really vague like that, but like, it's not that it just has to be good. It just has to be honest. And like with things, you just need to find yourself first, because once you've done that, then that's where purpose comes from. That's where intention is. You know what I mean? Without purpose and intention, sometimes things don't land the way you would like to,
right
at that time,
right?
Or you realize it after.
You know what I mean.
But some people get lucky anyway, you know what I mean? It really is kind of the luck of the draw. But if for me, I guess with artistry and things like that, it's like, yeah, I just think you have to be intentional and have your own voice.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
And if you don't really have that, then more time it doesn't really land.
Yeah. Then you just, you know, again, you lost in the industry at that point, right?
This is it. And also, I think there has to be like, to be an artist, creative person, whatever, in this time, like, you have to have an understanding of pop culture as well. Otherwise, whatever it is that you're trying to build would only go so far.
Yeah, anyway. True.
Do you know what I mean?
True.
So I think that's also a point that may help, like, I guess, younger people that might be listening. It's like, if you haven't got an overall understanding, because more time it's like, if you just make music, for example, and you know you just want to be a musician, you don't know that, you know, your music could land in places in fashion or art spaces or in design. You know, there's so much things that happen every year, from like Art Basel to Biennales to Fashion Week to other stuff. So like, if you don't make it in the conventional, I don't know, American Idol way, or become, I don't know, the next Ice Spice or something. It's like, it's not really, there's other ways for you to do that without necessarily being famous.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
And still be able to sustain yourself and your family.
Do you find inspiration from others? And I ask this question kind of out of a mindset of, I know you probably get asked this a lot about the Black is King, like being a part of that, you know, but now that moment for you to be a part of that production, I know it probably got a lot of secrecy behind all of that.
Oh yeah, NDAs and
everything. Yeah. But like, being in that space, did that motivate you in a sense of, okay, What's going on here is not a lot different from what it's the creative experience of the art and how it's coming across. Do you have inspirations that you tap into, and whether it is in music or fashion or anything?
I guess the thing that was most inspiring from that experience is just knowing that we can't. So, like, for example, not necessarily the fact that obviously it's Beyonce, because that's obviously mad in it, but like, whether it's, a Beyonce or someone else who's equally as iconic or whatever, it's like they still have their eyes on who's actually doing good work.
Yeah.
So the reason why I even had the opportunity to be in it was because my friend was directing that segment of Black is King.
Mm.
So I was going to be there anyway to shut up for my friend. Anyway, so when we got the NDAs and it said Park on, it was like, oh, is this what you're on? Yeah, mad,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But before that, it's like, we were just going there for Jen, to be honest.
I
would have been there for anyway. Sure. And like, her work's amazing. So that's why she's there.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's been really, I guess, inspiring for me is just having like friends that are not necessarily musicians, like she's a director. I've got other friends that are, that are photographers and set designers that have worked for Rihanna, Beyonce, this person, that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So it's like, if you're good in your field and what you do and you've got your own eye and vision, like, it can take you anywhere. And I think a lot of times people look at, there's a difference between being an artist and being a consumer. And I think a lot of times that's missed when people are trying to be artists, because they're consuming something rather than trying to make their own.
They're trying
to make their version of what they've consumed.
Yeah.
Which more time point. Is kind of dead.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? That's a good point. Man, now I will say, my favorite track is probably Mazes.
Okay, sick.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm going to ask you a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are all your babies, everyone you put out. Do you have a maybe not a favorite piece of work, but a favorite time frame that you were in that produced a piece of work that you enjoy more, maybe a little bit more than others?
Probably Zero.
Okay.
That's probably Out in the World that I think is my favorite, because we made it like 2017, like quite a way back, and then I went back into it again and just gave it some more vibes for it to sound how it does now. So the process of that one, I think.
Pulled it out.
Yeah, pulled it out. It was a vibe.
And what you got coming up? You in the lab right now?
Well, I'm basically trying to pattern a new team. So I'm trying to get my management together. But there's loads of new music. It's just about, figuring out how I can level up with a new team. Because from the experience of doing everything, like, to date, so many worlds have opened up. So, like, now how I'm thinking is, like, not necessarily totally different, but a lot wider. There's so much other things to get into.
Right.
That I'm kind of, like, really looking forward to. But it's just about having the team to really, like, exploit those, opportunities to the fullest.
What would be the most fulfilling crossover for you? You like, what, if I were able to do this, that would be like, oh, that's some cool shit I did.
But there's a few things, like, I've got things done, it's just about like getting the team to help me actually.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I haven't got any pipe dreams as such. It's just about, can you help me make this happen?
Or
can we find the funding to make this thing happen? And that's kind of where everything's at. So that's everything from ballets and like an album potentially, and but there's just so much music that I want to be able to do other things with, and I'm looking for the right script to be able to do a bespoke composition for like a feature length, or to start with a short film or something like that. Those are the things that I'm
take the scores that you've done, or take what you've done and be able to leverage them in other.
This is it. And with everything that's out already, it's just ensuring that it's being synced and licensed across different things, because there's so much from HBO, Amazon, all of the streaming platforms.
Right.
They're always making shows. So it's not even so much about, you know, making a film, because I feel like films are going to stop soon. It's just my theory.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because everyone watches the Netflix and the Primes, and there's always going to be like, most series, the shows are like an hour long anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And they're just going to keep making more and more and more. So if I can get a gig of like, okay, I did the music for this show.
That's it. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because then that just, it just allows you the freedom, because I think where people get caught up in the fame thing, it's not very liberating being famous. Like, you can't just like go on your high
street. Yeah, right.
Live your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas if you've got a couple of those kind of gigs, like, you know, money's coming in and you can see the world at your own pace.
Yeah.
And more time you go somewhere and no one ain't gonna know you.
Yeah.
That's calm.
That's calm. That's
I think
calm.
That's the biggest flex, man.
Yeah.
If money's up and no one don't know you, life is good.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. For sure.
Mm.
Well, for those that are listening, man, how can they find you? How can they follow you? How can they listen to your music?
Yeah, everything's online. Just type in CKTRL. And yeah, it's all there.
Y'all, we in London. Had a great conversation with my guy Control. That's CKTRL. Go look it up, find him. Again, he's melodic. I'm gonna put that. I think that might be a good little way to put that, man. But definitely, y'all tap into his music, tap into his story. Keep following him, man. We appreciate your time with us today, welcoming us to London. Another episode of the Check In with Black Menswear. We'll see y'all next go round.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.